Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
You probably saw my, you would have seen when I came up here, my adorable daughter. And you will agree that she's adorable, or else. And then I had her, and then I made the eye contact with Aaron to say, I'm coming over to bring her to you. And her immediate response was to start screaming and crying and to grab hold of me for dear life. And some of you know this feeling. But it's a pretty special feeling to be loved that much. That they don't want anybody else, they just want me. Until they see mummy. And then it's like, okay, you're not as good as her. Kids are pretty special, aren't they? They're pretty special, and they're very complicated. And today what I actually want to talk about is as we're doing the series of things of how do I handle whatever, what I want to talk to you today about is how do I handle kids. And I understand that some of you here today don't have kids. Some of you raised your kids already. Some of you are on to raising your grandkids. Some of you, your kids just aren't in the picture anymore. But if you are part of a church, you are part of raising kids. And it isn't just the parents' responsibility to raise the kids. It is our job to raise the kids. Because whether they're going to the nursery or they're downstairs in kids' ministry or they're in youth group or they're here on Sunday, or they're making friends and making relationships with other families here, or they're coming up here and running around and destroying things. How you speak to them, how you react to them, all tells them something and helps raise them. And so even if you are not in the situation where you have kids at home now, if you are here today, you have a part to play in how we raise our kids. And that is babies, teenagers, and even young adults. And kids are very complicated. Because we have the questions of how do you keep them on the right path? How do you make them happy? How do you get them to eat? How do you get them to sleep? How do you get them to stop fighting? How do you help them learn to read? How do you get them to behave in school, or worse, behave at home? That seems to be the harder part. How do you talk with your kids? How do you train them to deal with peer pressure? To do chores, to answer their questions, figure out what career they should be in. How should they handle their money? What about dating, swearing, drama at school, clothing at school, fashion, extra activities, sports, YouTube, games, video games, shows, movies, music, the internet, friends, classes, driving, on and on and on and on the questions go, don't they? And they're all fairly complicated questions, because I could say, well, you know, how you get your kids to behave at home is you just got to give them the rule and stick to the rule. Uh-huh. And then you have a kid like Ben. And I've been sticking to the rules for 4 years. And I'm going to keep sticking to him, but boy, it's not that simple. There's something about his little brain that isn't even processing some of those discipline pieces. And so all of these questions get very, very big, very, very complicated, and they change often for individual kids. You could tell one kid stop doing that, and they go, oh, sorry, yep. And then you go to another kid, and you say, stop doing that, and they look you in the eye, and they do it anyway. They actually do it because you told them not to do it. Were they raised different? Probably not. They're just different kids. And so how are we to handle kids? Well, I'll tell you right now, we do not have the time here, nor do I have the expertise to be able to tell you how to handle all of those questions and all the other questions you're going to come up with when dealing with your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor's kids, and the kids here in our church. What I can tell you, though, is what the key focus and the key priority in how we raise our kids needs to be fleshed out. In the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 15, the prophet says, has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. Does that scripture give us all the answers we need? No. But I feel like that one scripture gives us enough of a priority structure right in that it's kind of like this is a primary skill that you have to master and then work through all the other things. If you're going to play football and you're going to be the quarterback, what is the key one skill you've got to know? You've got to learn how to throw the ball. That's it. You should probably be able to run. You probably should be able to take a hit. All those things and many, many, many more skills. But if you can't throw the ball, then you can't be the quarterback. But if you can throw the ball and throw it super well, then you can let the rest of your team play out the rest of the pieces. Driving, you learn the rules of the road. When you go to have your driving test, the first thing they have you do is a written test, right? And that written test has the rules of the road. Do you know what the rules are? Do you know what these signs mean? And if you don't know the rules of the road, they don't let you get behind the wheel of a car. You need to have the rules of the road first, and then you can get good at it. You need to be able to throw the football well, and then you can work on all the other skills. And this is kind of like what this is the prophet Malachi shows us that the key priority in raising kids needs to be that they become godly men and women. Really, parenting is about producing godly men and women. It's not about producing rich men and women. It's not about producing good-looking men and women. It's not about producing popular men and women, influential men and women. It's about producing godly men and women. That is what God wants of you. So what does a godly man or woman look like? The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Galatia, and he talks about something called, he calls, the fruit of the Spirit. So basically, an apple tree produces, a pear tree produces, a carrot tree produces, carrot cake. Carrot cake. That, sir, is the right answer. That is the right answer. And a spirit tree produces the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our goal is to see those attributes in our kids. That if they are producing those things, we can be fairly certain that they are becoming godly men and women. And I think we can all agree that we would like our kids to express those things, to look at, to live their lives with those values, and for people outside of the church and people inside the church and people around us to look at our kids and say, man, when I look at that person, I see love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Right now, when you look at my kids, all you see is stubbornness. And they're cute. But if I can raise my kids in a way that when other people look at them, they see the fruit of the Spirit. Not that they're smart, not that they're cute, not that they're popular, not that they're powerful. But their life is filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is what God wants for my kids. That is what he wants for your kids. Whether they're in your home or they're part of this church, your kids. So how do we do that? How do we throw the ball right? What are the rules of the road? What are the fundamental pieces that we need to grab hold of in order to produce godly men and women? Well, there are a number of things. First thing is that you need to foster the key family behaviors. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he was writing to the church in Ephesus, and he gave a bunch of instructions about family stuff. And in chapter 5, verse 33, he says, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And then a couple verses later, in 6:2, it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then in verse 4, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I kind of grab those things and I take from those verses that our families need to be filled with love, respect, honor, and patience. Husbands, you got to love your wives. Wives, you got to respect your husbands. Kids, you got to honor your parents. And parents, you got to be patient with your kids. But the reality is, everybody in the family needs to be living and treating each other with love, honor, respect, and patience. It just so happens that kids have the hardest time treating their parents with honor. And parents have the hardest time treating their kids with patience. They can love them, but it's very hard to be patient with them. Can I get an amen? Somebody, like, come on, folks. I'm up here pouring my heart out about parenting struggles, and y'all are just sitting there like, I haven't struggled with any of that. My kids are perfect. Come on! I've seen your kids. I know that you're failing. And so we need to foster an environment that produces, that embodies, and we need to live out this example of love, honor, respect, and patience. And then we need to prioritize godly living. In Matthew 19, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." In Matthew 22, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." In Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, chapter 6, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You know what that means? All of you who really enjoy all those really decorative craft show wall hangings with scripture on them, there is a biblical mandate that says you should go and buy those and hang those up in your house. You go to that craft sale. You paint those scripture verses onto signs and you sell them and you buy them. You have scriptural endorsement to spend your hard-earned money on those really cheesy signs. On those signs. But there's that key piece right in there. It says, it's supposed to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. The way of God needs to be a fundamental piece of your life, and it needs to be a fundamental piece of how you are talking to and raising our kids. And then we need to stay focused. Proverbs chapter 22 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." And Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." Careful to discipline them. I know that in my own journey of raising my kids, and I've spent years with younger cousins, and I've spent years working at summer camp with whole bunches of kids. I've been a youth pastor. I've got my own kids now. It is very difficult to figure out exactly what it is that we're trying to do here. Am I just getting them to survive? Am I just trying to survive the moment? Am I trying to get them into a good career? Do I want them to be happy and healthy and successful? Why am I bothering to discipline them? Why am I fighting this fight with them? Why am I holding this line with them? And it all comes back to that key passage in Malachi. That what does God desire? Godly offspring. Godly men and women. The things that we do and the questions we ask cannot be answered any other way. We need to be looking at our kids, and figuring out how do we help them to embody the fruit of the Spirit? How do we raise them to be godly men and women? That's what we need to do. That's what we need to figure out. And it is complicated, and it is difficult, and we are not supposed to do it alone. And how we treat each other in our family, and again, Malachi says, be faithful to the wife of your youth. In other words, how you treat your spouse will definitively affect your kids. The quality of your marriage directly impacts the upbringing of your kids. If you don't love and respect your spouse, you will not be producing godly men and women. And so through all the questions, all the confusions, all the changing culture that we face, we need to remember that parenting is about producing godly men and women. That is the goal. Everything else has to be second priority. The worship team's going to come up. Hopefully Brad has fixed his guitar. We'll find out. And during these next 2-3 songs, just let the Lord speak to you about what it is that maybe is the next step for you in parenting your own kids, or how you can have a greater influence on the kids of this church. And I say kids, but I really mean like babies to young adults. Like you're 21, you're 22, you're still figuring stuff out. They need people who are older than them, who have more experience than them, more wisdom than them, to come alongside them, not treat them like they're stupid, but just come alongside them and encourage them and help guide them. And as you're growing up, those kids and teens, you need to be asking questions of those who are older than you and getting advice from them, because they have actually survived. If they haven't done anything else, they have survived longer than you have. And so just take some time during these next 2-3 songs to ask God what it is that you need to be doing next to help produce godly men and women.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.